Gorgeous Lives on Radio Gorgeous. Today I'm in the offices of a very soon to be launched new magazine by Rowan Pellin, who is famous for the erotic review. It's called The Amorist, and it promises a romantic, witty and discursive and flirtatious conversation designed to appeal to men and women. Hello, Rowan. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello. Hello, Josephine. Very, very delighted to have you in the sultry Amorist office.
Wow. What an introduction. So, is it an erotic magazine? I have to ask first.
Definitely aspects of it are erotic, but what I really wanted to do this time was to examine the heart more widely, so that although we have stories that are very sexual and original new fiction, we're looking at all aspects of relationships. We're looking at, you know, the heart as it's lived from, you know, when you first fall in love to when you're older, to episodes maybe that don't work out so well, and that kind of, that whole tempo of someone's love life as we see it in all our friends and our family and people around us.
Wonderful, wonderful. So is it for everyone? Singles, marrieds, LBGTs?
It is absolutely for everyone. The Amorist is pansexual. It is not narrow. We're really interested to hear everyone's stories. And in fact, we're talking to an old friend of mine who actually, since I did the erotic review, has been transitioning from a man to a woman. And we sort of feel this is very much the 21st century story, that people are much more fluid, that their sexual identity changes. I've noticed amongst my niece's generation, she's 14, that they quite routinely say, oh, I'm bisexual, in a way that we never would have done when we're young, but they just don't
No label attached to it in that way that we would be conscious of.
Yeah, I find that really fascinating, because it definitely has been a bit of a seismic shift in the way people identify themselves and think about their identities. I think sometimes you feel a bit left out when you're middle-aged. Yeah. You think, damn, missed out on all of that.
Now, that's the question I want to ask. Who is the reader in your mind?
I do think the core readers, as is so often the case when you're an editor, will probably reflect your own place in life. So I'm seeing them being 35 upwards, a lot of them being women. I see this magazine being for women and for their partners, and indeed, as we were saying, also for anyone, for gay men, for anyone who's thinking about the heart. But I think the core reader will be probably a middle-aged woman, just because that readership, I think, is feeling curious, is feeling restless, is trying to work out what to do about their own love life. Sometimes it's because they've split from someone after being with them a long time. Often you're still with the person you love, but you're just trying to think about how you revitalise maybe your sex life after children, how you find mystery again in each other. You know, is there anything that you can do that will just bring back some of the heady excitement of when you first met? These are the questions that all my friends ask each other over dinner or when we, you know, meet in a pub.
Now, how graphic is it going to be? Is this magazine going to be allowed to, could it lie around my sitting room?
It could definitely lie around your sitting room. We've designed it so that your sort of average person passing through someone's sitting room, be that the vicar, your grandmother, a teenage child, wouldn't be mortified. They wouldn't open it and go, oh my God, and have to go and see a therapist. You know, it's the same as having novels in your sitting room. I mean, people have Lady Chatterley's Lover. They will have maybe a compendium of sexy stories without it frightening anyone. So, you know, we have sexy illustrations and we have sexy stories, but they're not going to make anyone feel that this is like, you know, I suppose what I'm thinking about are the way that there was a rumpus, rightly so, I think, about the way men's magazines went nuts, zoo, sort of women made to pose in really, what I found very offensive ways, you know, the hands stuck down their knickers and looking stupid. And there was a real laddish movement that I think rightly has been ironed out after much objection. And I see this magazine as being romantic, as being very much orientated towards the sensibility of, you know, romanticism.
So where's it going to be on the shelf? Because there's no such thing as a top shelf, I've heard that.
No, rather wonderfully, we went to see W.H. Smith and said, look, this is a we would like to see us on the same shelf as things like Private Eye and National Geographic and Monocle, and that it's actually a general interest magazine in some ways, but for people who are generally interested in love and passion. And I was really delighted when they got that. You know, I said, look, most magazines that are general interest have an article about sex or about relationships. And to be honest, if they could, they would probably make far more of their articles about that, because it's what so many people are fascinated by. And of course, we're lucky, we're not constrained. We could make the entire magazine about the greatest dinner party topic.
Now, who is writing for it? Throw us some names that will excite us, Rowan.
Yeah, yes, thrill you with these. No, we have got some of the really some of the best writers I know. So the first issue has original fiction by Sarah Hall, who was shortlisted for the Booker Prize some years back, has won quite a few literary prizes. Her short stories again have won prizes, the BBC's short story prize, and she's written an incredibly erotic story for us called Orton, set in the Lake District. Hanif Qureshi, who I think everyone knows, has written a brilliant sexy little short story for us. We've actually got one by Anonymous, who's toying with me and won't tell me their name. I love to think that it's either Martin Amis, you know, or a very bored housewife in Swindon, and I really don't know, but it's a brilliant story. We've got Dolly Alderton, who's the dating expert from the Sunday Times, Cosmo Landisman, who I think everyone knows from both the Modern Review and his memoirs, and Cosmo rather brilliantly is reviewing sex toys for us.
For men, that is.
Yeah, for men. This has really changed again, because when I was doing the erotic review, there weren't really so many toys out there for men, and the ones for women were pretty vulgar. And now there's this enormous market, and many of them are designed, so the new sex toys for women are very much designed by women, and you know, they don't look like phalluses anymore necessarily. They're often very chic, you know.
So who's the woman trying these? Is it you, Rowan?
Well, obviously, if I could write the whole magazine myself, I would. No, I keep having my sex toys ripped away from me by various reviewers, but Clover Stroud, who's a wonderful writer.
Well, she's had five children, so she knows about sex.
Yes, even today, she's at Meg Matthews is launching a vaginal rejuvenation implement of some kind. I haven't checked it out yet, but Clover's there, and she's just brilliant about the fact that she has all these children, but she's still trying to find time for her sex life, and she's totally upfront and unembarrassed about talking about that. And she said, yes, of course I'll do this. And that was really what I wanted. I did not want someone young sort of going, oh, you know, here is this sort of super sexy thing. I wanted someone who was practically in that space where they're trying to find the time to have a love life, and they also maybe just do need a bit more stimulation, because that's what it's like when you hit midlife.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the menopause, there's so many things going on hormonally with women, and also, as you say, you've been in a relationship maybe for 20, 25 years. And so is this the sort of magazine you and your husband can read in bed together?
I pray it is that magazine. I really hope that people will read the stories to each other. And in fact, it's a top tip of mine, is reading erotic fiction to each other. It sounds silly, but so long as you don't do it with stupid voices, it's an incredible way to put yourself in the mood. And also, you know, just in slowing down, in really thinking about using your voice as a sexy tool, it really helps you get in the mood. And I hope the articles will be read, and that, you know, people will discuss their favourite bits of the magazine, will write to me to say what we should have more of, less of. But it's very much tilted towards both genders. And we'll have images, of course, of naked men as well as naked women.
Excellent, excellent. So you're going to appeal to both. But then, weren't you saying something about that women don't have such a problem looking at women? I'm quite interested in this.
I think this is absolutely true. I think women routinely admire other women. We're really fascinated. We go, you know, to the beach, swimming pool. I certainly am checking out other women. I'm kind
front cover of all women's magazines, they're of women.
Yeah, look at Vanity Fair, you know, Keira Knightley, people like this with no clothes on, and we're all interested. And any psychotherapist would tell you, say, if a man and a woman walks past, the man will look at the woman in the couple, but the woman will also look at the woman and that couple walking past. And the reason is you sort of, you're interested, you interrogate women. So sometimes you go, well, what have you got that I haven't got? Or what have you got, you know, what have I got that you haven't? The women have, you know, maybe a flaw in us, but we do compare ourselves. We imaginatively throw ourselves into other people. And actually, I think we like women's bodies, which is why if you talk to men, they tend to be much more nervous about expressing themselves as having fluid gender issues. But most women could imagine themselves falling in love with another woman, I think.
Oh, I'm really excited to know how your life's going to develop with this magazine, Rowan.
Yes, yes, who knows?
Next time I see you.
Who knows? Obviously, I have to lead from the front. And I have noticed actually quite a lot of my friends have you know, have ditched the husband for a woman in midlife. That would rather startle my spouse, I have to say, but never say never.
Now, will it be available in the newsagents, and how much is the cover price?
It is available in newsagents. WH Smith are stocking it in their travel outlets and also lots of their main high street outlets. We're going to be obviously available by subscription, and that's more advantageous. So take out a sub because that will be cheaper. And it's £4.95 is the cover price. And at the moment, we're offering the first six issues on subscription for only £6,
which is incredible. So how many people signed up for this?
At the minute we're getting close to 1,000, which is wonderful, and we haven't even launched. Got another 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, when is the launch date?
Launch date is the 26th of April, and we're going to have, you know, a launch party. We're doing a readers event on June the 8th, so people can come to that and meet Cosmo, Dolly and Clover.
Who, and you.
And me, and me, 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 me. And yeah, we're all going to be talking about the question set is five things I've learned about sex.
Since I've taken up with the amorous.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you, Josephine.
So the Amorist, Rowan Pellin's magazine for devotees of love and passion, is six issues for £6. Go to theamorist.co.uk, pages subscribe. Thank you so much for listening to RadioGorgeous.com.